Pepe just said, on a funny day, we can go for hours like we haven't already.
Yeah, you ain't seen nothing yet. We can check the bark off a tree,
Is
fella.
a
Come
preview. I have to edit this nonsense.
Keep it all in. Keep it all in.
Have you ever sneezed while racing?
Sneezing's one thing, farting.
Oh man, I was doing a test in Novara and I had a paella for lunch.
You're gonna pay for lunch in a race day?
But anyway, so the bad thing is it's so insulated, it just goes directly into your helmet. It's got nowhere else to go.
Hello and welcome to the Feeder Series podcast, your guide to keeping up to date on everything in the junior single-seater world. If you like to watch laps at a circuit that is far too tight and twisty for modern cars and enjoy drivers following each other without any real chances to overtake by lap two, we've got the episode for you. I'm your host, Jim Kimberley, and this week we're talking all things from F1's Jewel in the Crown, or as I think it should be, the Splinter in its Finger event, Monaco. F3 rejoined in support for the first time since its GP3 days, and joining me today are two of the racers who tackled the principality. Now, first up, let me introduce a guest who first joined us, get this, over 50 episodes ago, and I know Pepe's watched every single episode since then, right, Pepe? Yeah. And since then, he's become a race winner in Formula Regional Middle East and in Formula 3, and in the past week, he can now say he's won at Monte Carlo. Has that settled in yet, Pepe Marti?
Hello. Well, more or less. Well, first of all, thank you for letting me join you guys again on the podcast. But yeah, still a little bit. I don't think I've really acknowledged yet that I've won Monaco. I think it's something that at the time felt so surreal, and at the same time, something that was not expected, that I still haven't processed it, I think.
Let me tell you this and have a think. You know, no matter what happens in your career now, in like 50 years, you can just say to anybody, yeah, I won at Monaco. And it's true. And we know the sport isn't the biggest sport in the world, that people aren't going to question it. You're just like, oh, wow, yeah, this guy won at Monaco. So you've got that under the belt for forever. But I'm going off topic and off script already, because joining Pepe is a driver that he's getting to know very well in the Campos team. It's a driver who took third in British F3, barely left the podium in Euro Formula Open, and has already scored points in his full-time rookie season of Formula 3. Welcome to the podcast, Christian Mansell. How are you today?
I'm good, buddy. I'm good. And as Pepe said, thank you for having me on. Yeah, I mean, this is my first F1 Feeder Series podcast, so I'm very...
Oh, it's not F1. You can't say that now. We'll get in trouble. Just Feeder Series. Just Feeder Series. Shh.
It's my first podcast with you guys, and yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. Obviously, me and Pepe are here, and that's usually a pretty fun duo at all times. So yeah, I'm interested to see where this goes, and yeah, got a few questions apparently, so should be very fun. Should be
just
very
a few, just a few. You're hinting at what's to come. And yeah, you've said you and Pepe on together, and already in the pre-show, I'm seeing how much of a entertaining mix, I'll call it, that is. I'm quite waiting to see how you guys tackle some of the questions. Now, rejoining the podcast with me is the Feeder Series F2 editor, because, you know, Formula 2 also needs a little bit of love. And you all know his name, and with his fancy microphone in 2023, you all love his voice. How is Tyler Foster doing today?
Yeah, not bad. I'm happy to be joined by a fresh Monaco race winner, and, let's just say a new star in the making, Christian Mansell. But in all seriousness, Monaco gets slagged off a lot. I think Monaco was really good this weekend, so I'm actually in quite a good mood. I think I enjoyed all the races. Yeah, I'm looking forward to chatting and getting these questions fired up, because Pepe's already looking a bit scared.
I'm just happy, mate.
I'm just more scared for like the awkward questions that you guys have absolutely picked out, just to throw in just a little bit of fire to the fuel.
Yeah, well, we're going to get to that in a little bit, because as these guys are alluding to, we asked for questions, and Pepe and Christian were kind enough to share to their social feeds, and it's resulted in the most amount of questions. I know I say it in a lot of podcasts, but this is legit the most amount of questions we've ever had.
There were a lot.
But before we get there, before we get started, if you enjoy the podcast, please like, comment, and subscribe if you're watching on YouTube, or leave a rating or review if you're listening on Spotify or another podcast platform. And if you happen to be listening on Spotify or watching on YouTube, you can take part in our podcast polls. Last time, we asked where you'd like F2 and F3 in a perfect world to race at now they're not racing at Imola this year, or likely not racing at Imola, I don't think it's confirmed yet. Now, Pepe, Christian, I gave the circuits of, this is a perfect world, I know it's not going to happen, Montreal, Suzuka, Circuit of the Americas, and Interlagos.
Suzuka. Pepe, what? Suzuka.
Yeah. No Suzuka. Hesitation.
No hesitation, Suzuka.
Well, you're both wrong.
Or Interlagos.
That's more like it. Because Suzuka. I said that Interlagos was the correct choice. And it seems that the Brazilian circuit is popular with our viewers and listeners, because 52% of YouTube watchers and 50% of Spotify listeners chose Interlagos too, which is, Pepe, unfortunately, the right answer. So,
Suzuka.
How much does Suzuka get?
Suzuka's the only answer, mate.
Yeah. Suzuka got 26% on YouTube, and it got 20%.
See, it's a Brazilian fan base ruining polls again.
Mate, thank God you didn't put Termas de Riondo like Argentina, because I think you would have got fired up.
Oh, really?
You would have got fired up, mate.
Well, apart from offending a nation, Tyler, let's go on to this week's question, because with F2 and F3 both racing in Monte Carlo, I want to know if you think these championships racing around Monaco is a good thing or not, or maybe they should be racing Interlagos, Suzuka. So you can check out our YouTube channel or scroll down on Spotify to cast your vote, and I'll read the results out in the next episode. And while you're there, if you haven't already rated or subscribed, please take the 10 seconds to do so. It really does help us out. Only one place to start then, F3, and a Monaco winner's trophy is now in your possession, Pepe. And from what I recall watching, there weren't a lot of overtakes this weekend, but you did gain some places on Sunday too. How do you reflect on the weekend?
Well, obviously for my first time ever in Monaco, and funny thing is, like, most of the rookies in the championship actually have experience at Monaco and I don't. So it's actually quite funny, because I obviously people just look at the results and see, oh, rookie, first season or blah, blah, blah. Thing is, it's my third year in race cars, and the rookies, most of them, are you the fourth or fifth season in Formulas? So it's a little bit of controversial, you could say, stuff. Yeah, you could say just controversial stuff. But yeah, I mean, the weekend was good. Obviously, we started off with free practice in the wet, which was quite scary at first. Quite scary at first, to be fair. And I think Christian and I both said the same thing after free practice. Like, I had to back off.
Yeah.
I got too excited straight away. Like, it was lap three. I think my engineer goes in the radio and he goes, you're P2, 1/10 off. And I'm like, this is too good. Like, why am I so fast?
Yeah,
we were fast in the rain. It was funny because most of the guys were actually struggling. Like, I was a second and a half quicker than an eventual podium guy in the feature race. You guys decide who it is. But it was funny because I was behind him and I was like, wow, I'm way, way quicker. What is going on? And to back myself out from just not going too hard and slowly make progress. And quali was a little bit of a disaster because, to be fair, obviously it was the first time for everyone at the track, but same thing. Drivers have a first time at Monaco. Teams also have a first time at Monaco, and teams like, for example, ERT, Prema, Trident, MP, they all have previous experience in Monaco with Freca, and Campos only has previous experience with F2. And I think, to be fair, that was a bigger disadvantage for us, as we struggled quite a lot in quali with balance, and we had to like just catch up during the weekend. And by then, we actually had a really solid car. Like, I'm proud of the car we had at the end, but I think in quali it kind of diminished our performance, not having a dry free practice session. And yeah, that cost us a little bit. But then Saturday was good. Can't complain about Saturday. And Sunday, yeah, I was completely boxed in at the start thanks to a car in the hairpin, which whilst I was making an overtake, eventually lost out of place. So not ideal. But yeah, then the race itself was decent. And so yeah, quite happy with the weekend.
Imagine saying just quite happy with the weekend when you are a Monaco race with a
you're a racing race.
Come on, it's still a race.
I get 10 points, mate. I've won 2 sprint races.
You get the podium.
That's mounted up to a freaking long race.
The 10 points you won't even think about in a few years. That podium stays with you for life.
Yeah, that is true. That is true.
Well, that is true. Christian, as tough tests go for a driver, Monaco looks like it's the biggest. And when I play the F1 games, oh my God, do I start abusing the rewind button at Monaco. It just looks and feels mental. I don't know how else to put it. Everything you expected?
I went into the weekend with sort of no real sort of, like, I say no expectations, but like no...
You raced poor, mate, and you had way too many expectations. Can we say that again?
But I went out on track, and obviously, as Pepe said, we were enjoying ourselves quite a lot. I was having, in practice, I was pushing so hard and like having so many moments, and I was like, right, okay, chill. But yeah, I mean, it's never what you think it is, to be honest, because I've never been there. So I don't really have an idea of what it should have been or what it could have been. But me and Pepe, we have very, very similar comments over the entire course of the weekend. He just managed to get much more in tune in qualifying. And look, some say he got lucky, he got his lap in, but I mean, you need luck. You need a bit of luck on your side. I was on for a good lap, and a good friend of ours, Sebastian Montoya, he flipped the wall, so I couldn't finish my lap. But I mean, geez, coulda, woulda, shoulda. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and be like, I would be in Pepe's position if I finished my lap, because you don't know that. So it's not even worth saying. But nevertheless, I think I'm proud. Yeah, I'm proud of where the car was by the end of the weekend. We sort of had an idea of where it needed to be. But the only tough thing that was sort of going into the weekend, we were told that, you know, the car was going to do one thing and it did another. So it was kind of hard to wrap our heads around that. But yeah, racing in Monaco as a whole is just a different planet. And yeah, I mean, you struggle to pass in the race, but more or less it's about qualifying, and we were on the back foot without, you know, not like slagging off the team or anything, because, you know, they did an amazing job to recover, but we just went the wrong direction in qualifying. But then again, I could have drove better. We all could have drove better. That's you know, that's reality. But yeah, I think it's also important to remember what Pepe said, when the rookies have so much experience around here.
Literally every single rookie in the top 10 this weekend, every single guy that was in the top 10, apart from Luke and Taylor, had 2 years of, or three, at Monaco. So
No bitterness there, then, guys. No, I'm joking.
It's not bitter at all. Because, mate, honestly, I went with Mini to the dinner gala, and I know Gabri from a long time. I'm great friends with him. And the lap is insane. Like, personally, if I had this car, I'm not sure if I could have had pole. Because his lap is...
Well,
really good.
I'll tell you something, Pepe. You could not segue any better to the next part of my script, because I said Gabriel Mini won the race, Tyler. And I suggested in one of my many articles that I put over the weekend that, in my opinion, his lap was even more impressive than Verstappen's, to be on the same track as the other drivers and to have as much of a margin as he did over the rest of them. It was almost a second. 9 tenths faster it was. Is that too much of a compliment, or?
This is
to Tyler, guy. I mean, if you have your own opinions.
So I was talking to Montoya, who's his teammate, right? And he was telling me, like, they looked at the data, obviously. And I'll be honest, it made him look like a champ. All right. The lap as a whole made him look like absolute top dog. But Seb was faster in Casino. He was faster in Raskas. And I think Luke was faster in him than the hairpin. But if you look at it, Paul only did one lap or two laps, yeah. I think. And he caught the track at the peak. And he was literally the only one who had a clean session. And that is by no means taking away from what he did. He did a mega job. But
he went 9 tenths a lap faster in the last lap. Like,
like he nailed it. He like he nailed it. But
like he had a 1 tenth gap and he went from 1 to 1 second.
Yeah. It was a bit of luck and a bit of skill. I would say 70% skill, 30% luck. I think that would be fair.
Well, that is all of motorsports, to be fair. But I do have to say, it looked like he was going to get P2 with the lap he had, I think. And then out of nowhere, he pulls that out, which absolutely floored me. Tyler, I know you're the F2 editor, but your thoughts on, well, Monaco, Mini's lap?
Well, what you said, which was his lap was more impressive than Verstappen's pole lap, which certainly seemed to get Crofty going. we won't talk about that. But thing is, right, you look at like Verstappen's lap and you think, oh, you know, it's Verstappen. I think you're sort of numb to that a bit. Like you're numb to someone who's just getting poles by a good margin. I mean, I know that, you know, Ferrari have been able to compete in qualifying and stuff, but when Verstappen does what he does, you kind of like, you expect it. With Mini, and I think Formula 3 in general, because you still get drivers like Mini who you think are like respectable talents of their generation. Like you think he'll go on and do well.
Respectable, okay, mate. that's a one way to put it.
So I think because in F3 it's a lot harder to, like, as Christian said, get that all together in one lap, and it does require things to go your way. But that's the whole point of like getting the credit in the first place, is that when he got his opportunity, he smashed it. And there's other people who didn't. And of course, around Monaco, if it one person doesn't and they put it in the wall, then no one else does. So it's like, there's nothing you can do about that. It's just like, you've got to be ready for your moment in motorsport, because a lot of the time you'll get screwed over. So right. I thought Mini did a really good job with that. And as we know around Monaco, as Pepe found out, you know, once you're at the front, you're fine.
Yeah, well, that's basically what happened to me. I was on for a lap and then the yellow flag. So that's just the way it goes. And to be honest, that's not even Monaco. I mean, obviously Monaco is more renowned for it, but like, as far as like F3, like the traffic issues, the yellow flag issues, like
you have some idiots put it in the wall in Australia, you know.
Oh,
hey, mate, could be.
Too soon. But
Pepe, like we say this, like not many people know this, but Pepe's sector one and two, like his sector two wasn't beaten until the third set of qualifying. So he was on for like a proper lap, but just
my lap with cold tires was valid if I'd finished it. Obviously I didn't.
Wait, I noticed.
I'd finished it. Oh, cheers, mate. I also did. My hand also, my wrist also did.
He really hurt his wrist.
I was done. I was actually considering pulling out of the weekend.
I'm glad you didn't. You were the shining star of Australia. What? No offense, Australian.
I mean, no, but like the thing is, because I didn't take my hand off the wheel because I thought I was going to make it, and I destroyed my wrist, and I was actually considering pulling out.
Wow. Well,
he couldn't do any wrist flexion like that.
Yeah.
Weekend.
Well, it gives another good segue, Pepe, because on a wider note of everything, it's been well over a year since we heard from you on the podcast last time, and 2022 seemed tough, and you finally got the points in Monza. How was the first season? And then on a better note, how's this season going and why has it changed so much?
Well, I think last year I was the definition of a rookie with little tests and little experience, pretty much. I think that's pretty much what it is, because obviously, like I said before, there's rookies with 3 seasons experience and there's rookies with 1 season experience. And I was one of them. I was one of the one season, call it wonders, no? Because obviously this season, Nico's won Solov. And he's also struggling. And mate, honestly, he's really good driver, but you can't expect to come here with few tests, few driving, 1 year experience in a car that is 10 to 12 seconds slower and expect to do well at your first go. And I'm not saying he won't do good well at the end, because he's good, but same way I struggled, unless you are, I don't know, something beyond, which I would struggle to comprehend, you're going to struggle. Because in the end, racing, like anything else, is repetition. The more you do it, the better you get at it. Pretty much. That's how it is. And if you do 50 days of tests before a season, you're going to struggle much less to put a lap together than someone who has 3 days of test and has put 1/10 or 1/20 of the amount of sets that you've done on the tires.
Which, might I add, there are a few people who have tested when they, well, maybe shouldn't have or could have. But
in motorsport, surely not. Come on, guys. This is absolutely insane as an allegation.
I do say this, but I will definitely not be naming names. Look, I know who they are, and look, I have a very simple rule in life. If you can, you can. Like, if you've got it to spend, if you've got the time, if you've got the resources, you know what? Do it, because I would.
Our parents would.
Yeah, 100%. But, 100%. Like, you know, it just kind of sucks when you're on the receiving end.
Yeah, I mean, this
is turning into such a sad podcast.
No, it's not. This is why people tune in.
We can tune it into a fun podcast. Don't you stress. We can change this vibe in about 30 seconds.
But the thing that I think, though, is people listening and watching to the podcast, it's a known thing in the industry, you know, and the fans know it. And it is frustrating. It's refreshing as well to hear drivers talk openly about it, as open as you can be, because my god, would you get in trouble if you started name dropping? But it's
you say the fans know, but like they kind of don't.
The best fans who listen to a podcast
But like the thing is you look at some drivers who've performed really well, and they're like, oh my god, they're rookies, they're the next Lewis Hamilton, like they've just come in with no experience. They did like 40 days in an F3 car, but they're a rookie. Right? Yeah? No.
Well, let's talk about someone else who has done a lot of days in, not an F3 car, but a Euroformula car, Christian, because the step up that you made from Euroformula, where I mentioned before, a lot of podiums, it's pod, got pod on the brain, a lot of podiums. How are you enjoying the step up? I know it's not F3 in the same way, but you went the route of, instead of going from UK straight into FIA F3, you took that intermediary step.
Yeah, I mean, I think going from British motorsport straight into F3 is quite a big jump in itself. I mean, look, we've seen it happen before and it hasn't worked. So I opted that I knew that you need to learn the tracks, European tracks, but like the experience that you get from UK racing is rain, racecraft, and pretty much just like sort of sense of where you can place a car, because Alton Park, you've got to know where the lines are for track usage. Otherwise, it's not even worth showing up, because if you don't use it all, then you'll be off by a tenth of a second and you'll be scratching your head going like, well, why? Like, you know, I've done everything right. My braking points are on mark, but you're this far from the white line and the guy who's put it on pole is this far. He's going to carry that extra. But I think Euroformula was a really good season for me. Obviously, it was a tough season, but a good season. I obviously had my biggest accident to date, which was quite a large one. But, you know, even though all of the controversies, the racing and all of that stuff, I still think it was very, very good that I did that. Controversial opinion, but I wouldn't want to do Frecker. It's just not really in my best interest, and it wasn't in my best interest to do that. But yeah, I love that car, and Pepe's driven that car once before. I won't say where and when, but it's just such an amazing car. Like it's one of the best built cars I've driven ever. I enjoy it better than the FIA F3 car, even though it's got more power, it's got DRS, but there's no car in the world that you can do a half lift around Stowe and not feel your stomach shift to the other side and not get the same sense of enjoyment. It's just an unreal machine.
I can't have you on, Tyler, and not talk about F2. And the last time you were on, we had Fred Vesti joining us. he's now leading the championship. I mean, we probably just gave him the tips. I don't know, but maybe.
Will I lead the championship?
Well, you know what's going to happen after this, right?
Absolute shit here in Barcelona.
Yeah, proceeds to like qualify 14.
Man.
Missed the reverse grip four and not get a single point.
We take
Bahrain and Melbourne. I've missed it by half a tenth.
We take no responsibility.
I missed it by 6,000
in Barcelona, guys. We take no responsibility. But Fred rested, though.
Barcelona should be a good round. I'm not even going to lie. Campus is strong.
We're going to get there. But he's won in Monaco, Tyler. And my question to you is he going to be the champion by the end of the season?
Well, I think at the beginning of the season, most people would have said that he wasn't one of the main favourites. I think people like Doohan, Porsche obviously was up there. I think Iwasa was actually on a lot of people's radars, which people got correct. But Vesti's come out of nowhere. I think because Primo have had last year with Haugen, Duravala didn't have a great season. So they're sort of coming off the back of that. Behrmann obviously stole the show. So I think that's sort of taken a lot of the limelight away from Vesti because obviously, you know, rookie, youngest driver on the grid, and then he does that. And it's like, even if Vesti leads the championship, people are still going to be talking about Behrmann because of how young he is. But I think he doesn't really care. He's not a sort of driver who needs a lot of the spotlight. He's put himself in a really good position. He's back at Prema where he absolutely loves it. He looks so comfortable compared to being Porsche's teammate last year. Although when I asked him about the prospects of fighting his teammate from last year for the title this year, he had this look in his eye I want to beat him, but actually I want to kill him. And like, you've got to have that. Like the thing with Drugovic that people don't really take into account when you think about how good he was last year and why he got the role in F1 as the development driver was because of the fact that he has those unknown quantities as a driver that you can't pin down in a characteristic. You can't say, oh, he's good at this. It's just his general game. There's not many flaws. And Vesti, someone who, having that Mercedes role as well, that's going to give him massive amounts of confidence. And he's at the point now where, you know, he's won a feature race, he's won, he's got poles, he's won at Monaco. You now think the next thing you want is a title. So as long as he avoids staying out of the way of Porsche, who I think is claiming that he wants to be a bit more aggressive in the second half of the season, then go on, Christian. You got a thought on Teo?
More aggressive.
Thing is, right? Okay, so here's the thing. Here's the thing with Teo. So he made that move on Behrmann in Jeddah.
Move.
And everybody
moved me. Sorry. I mean, you were making the move in the car behind, but yeah.
A rather large thud.
Dive bomb down the inside. Daniel.
Sorry, Tay, if you're watching this. I didn't mean that.
Yeah, I don't mean any beef, but that was a hard one.
Daniel Ricciardo on steroids. So the thing was that he did tone it down after that. And the thing is, because nothing happened, people won't know about it. But in Baku, he was fighting for P2 in the feature race with Fittipaldi. And with all respect to Fittipaldi, he's a good driver, but he's not someone you want to be letting beat you in feature races for the podium spots, especially considering Porsche's pace in the first couple of rounds. So he played the defensive role after that and let Fittipaldi sort of take the move on him without too much of a fight. And then it was almost like his head swung the other way. And I think after Monaco, for the second time now, finishing behind the winner, despite being one of the favourites, he's like, okay, now I need to be more nasty if I want to win the title.
I have to say, though, Tyler, my take on it was particularly from the Martins, or however you bloody pronounce that surname, at the start, because he did squeeze him. He really did squeeze him.
Well, the thing is, right, is that you've got, and this is a very ART thing, and I think I did actually say this in the pre-season preview about what I thought of ART, was that they're a very, very, very capable team who just seemingly can't keep out of their own troubles. Mm. And they, you know, they seem really excited because they have two French drivers and a French team, and you know, Victor's a champion and he's coming in with loads of confidence. But there's always this feeling of like the whole ART second curse, the second seat curse thing. And it's complete, you know, rubbish in the sense that obviously they don't favour one driver, but there's clearly something about the way they operate, which means that the second driver doesn't get the points that they should be getting. whether it's their own fault or whether it's a team issue, because Martins has been probably top three in terms of pace all year long, and yet he's got like less points than Doohan, who has literally had the opposite issue. He's had no pace all season. So, you know, there's loads of drivers that are ahead of Martins, and
he's 15th in the standings, which is
He shouldn't be that far down. And no, seriously, if you want to look at his performances this year, he's been in the podium positions for like 50% of races, and yet he just doesn't finish them. He just can't finish races. You know, he's literally got third, second, and then seventh and eighth are his only point scoring finishes this season.
Well, let me say this then. So it was interesting because I said the same thing to my girlfriend when F2 was on Sunday. And I was like, Martins is right up there right now. Let's see how he doesn't end up on the podium. And then within about 2 minutes of that being said, he's got the time penalty. And is one of the things I want to talk to the drivers in particular about. That was heart in mouth. Have you seen the onboard from...
Yeah.
Can we, first off, before Martins is being really close to Marshall, before everything, there's a safety car board, and there should be a red flag. There can't be two Marshalls on the side of the oncoming cars on track with a car that it's going to be a red flag. Like, the car is on fire in the middle of the track. That should have been a red flag straight away. And it's not a bad comment towards FIA. It's not nothing. But I think that it was a really clear situation that red flag should have been thrown. And we had the same situation in F3. Out of T3, there was a car spun around in free practice. And when I mean spun around, I mean in the middle of the track. And there was a single yellow. It wasn't even a double yellow. We had a single yellow going into a corner where there was a car stranded in the middle of the track. And we had a yellow flag for 4 minutes.
Let me ask, Ben. Let me ask it this way.
It's crazy.
It's a difficult track to see around. And I think that's clear from...
Well, everything's blind.
Yeah. Exactly. Which does lend some credibility to your thoughts, Pepe. I'm not saying they're wrong at all. I'm just being neutral. But is Victor's problem that he couldn't see around the corner more than he was going too fast?
I think people are being far too harsh on him, if I'm honest.
He's following a Delta.
Yeah, man.
He's following a Delta. Like, he has to follow a Delta for 2 laps. It's obligatory. And the Delta is 60% of the speed. 60% of the speed in that corner is 110 kph minimum.
If you see after the when he goes past and misses the marshal, he raises his hand in the same way, you know, as if you get sort of T-boned in an overtaking move, as if to be like, what the hell are you doing? And I think that was him like saying, I'm following what I'm supposed to be doing here. I've been caught out, and, you know, we're talking about Mini getting pole in a good situation. That was a bad situation. As he came round, the marshal was just going round the car to obviously close the gap that he could then go through. But yeah, I think Pepe's point is the perfect one to sort of finish this conversation. There should have been a red. Like, you think about it, and it's you think, maybe I feel like the FIA this year, noticeably in all categories, have been a lot slower, have decided to bring the safety car out as a precautionary measure before then deciding, oh yeah, there's carbon fiber all over the track, let's red flag it. And I feel like around Monaco, that really becomes clear. So I think, in the future, they need to be a bit better with that decision making, because, you know, especially around tracks like Monza where you've got gravel flying everywhere, if it's a serious incident, you know, that's about as bad as it got without it actually being serious. So a bit of a lucky escape.
One more thing to add on to that. I personally feel as a driver, if there was a car on fire, you've got fuel, you've got engine bays, you've got gearbox diff oil, you've got so many things that can sort of no nice things, and probably should have been a red.
Well,
should have. I mean, it was a red, they just threw it way too late. I mean, it's like, in my opinion, straight after the incident, how close was Maloney to hitting him?
When cars are on fire,
that should have been a red. Like, straight away, the car is done. The car is stunned at that second. The car is done. You can't put a safety car, because I'm pretty sure the safety car is too wide for it to go through there. Or it would have been too small of a gap for the extinguishers and marshals and all of that. Yeah, they would have had to go 20 kph. whilst everybody's acting on the car. So it's not a critic. It's just say, let's improve for the next event. And I will call it in the briefing.
Well, that's enough questions for me, because the Feeder Series podcast is for you, viewers and listeners. And we're going to move on to the hashtag AskFS part of the podcast. If this is your first time watching or listening, you can get involved by using the hashtag AskFS on Twitter, joining our Discord and using the podcast questions channel. You can comment on our YouTube videos, or you can keep an eye out on our Instagram posts and stories. And now I have said there are a lot of questions. And fortunately for me, my ride or die, Tyler Foster, has come with an indexing way of going through most of them, I think. I think we had to get rid of a bunch. But Tyler, you have a plan for trying to get through as many as possible. Do you want to ask the question on how to get the question to Pepe?
Okay, so we have questions for Pepe. This is the section where we ask questions that are directly to Pepe, and he gets to choose of the... I've narrowed it down to 6 questions. So he has to pick a number between 1 and 6, and we will ask the question that is numbered that way. So Pepe, pick a number between 1 and 6, please.
And my number is 23, so 2 plus 3, 5.
Ooh. Question number 5 from Nate the Great at Drake the Great 26 on Twitter. What is the most important piece of advice that Alonso has ever given to you?
I wouldn't consider it a piece of advice, but it's just a way of thought that you always have to aim to be higher than where your material is. So for example, if your car is to be P6, you should be aiming for a top 5. If your car is to be out of the points, you've got to do as hard as you can to get into the points. So I think that kind of mentality, which he's displayed over his career multitude of times, like he's driven tractors up to championship fighting positions, so stuff like that. I think that was probably the biggest piece of advice.
And are you going to be looking forward to driving tractors for championships, or
sorry,
are you going to be
what was that?
I can't believe you missed that.
What'd you say? I don't think I need to say it. It's fine. If it's left in, then you'll see it on the replay.
Oh, no.
Anyway, question for Christian. Pick a number between 1 and 6, please.
I'll go 4.
4. Okay. From Crispy Crab on Discord. Hey Christian, do people think that you're the son of Nigel Mansell when you say that your surname is Mansell?
Yeah, a lot.
I can confirm that.
Did they?
Because I was the first.
Yeah.
How did that come about? How did you find out that he wasn't actually? Did you have to ask him?
No. So basically,
he Googled you.
Well, I pretty much put 2 and 2 together when I first started watching F1, and I was like, "Who's this Mansell? Nigel Mansell? Hang on, wait, Dad, are we like, what's going on?" And he was like, "Nah, we're not. Trust me," because he's a racing fan himself. He's the reason why I'm in motorsport. So he's checked, and it's not come back. So no, but there was this one time where me and Pepe were in Leonardo, and these French reporters came up to us, and it was me, Montoya, and Pepe, and obviously Montoya with Juan Pablo, and obviously he's genuinely his son. He's genuinely got the last name to boot. And then they were like, "Oh, Mansell," and I was like, "Yeah, it's my granddad."
Granddad.
When you get the podium or get in top 3 and have that interview, can you just say this is for Granddad Nige?
Uncle Nige.
Big get Nige.
But it was a funny thing that I used to say to some people as a kid, but no, there is no relation. I've like come close to meeting him like on one occasion at Goodwood, but I just missed him. But I would love to meet him one day and just kind of be like, "Hey, I'm trying to carry on the Mansell tradition," because you know, I'm according to F3, I'm British, apparently.
Yeah.
Continue to get that wrong. But anyway.
Asking for it for every single day.
On his wiki, it says born in Australia, New South Wales. And then you flip down to the championship standings, and it's not Christian Mansell, Union Jack next to his name, which is just like,
Wow. Rather annoying. Yeah. I've actually asked, I'm not going to say what her name is, but I know one of the people who runs F3 like media, and she does a lot of the Instagram stories for F3. I'm just like, make sure if you like record me, make sure it's the Aussie or the Australian. So they make sure. And she was like, oh, I don't know if I can do that. And I was like, I'll slip you a 50.
can I ask a question that isn't on there because I forgot to put it on?
Okay.
But interesting timing. We may or may not be related.
What is this?
A question that came through. What's he showing us?
I'm still fucking British. This is clearly not a one-time issue.
Oh, man, I've been going at them since Bahrain, brother.
Do you think they'll change it before the end of the season? I reckon they won't. I think if they've got this far, they'll...
For next year, I'm Australian.
You should change. You should just start changing it to whatever you want. Just change it to like. And then.
Oh, God, no. I don't think of anything worse.
You're never gonna race in your life.
Are you sure? Are you sure you want to keep that in, mate?
I'm not. For the sake of your career, I'm taking that out. I'm taking that out.
Fair enough.
Jim, are you going to be able to ask your question now?
actually, guys, I don't have that much time in house.
I know, this is what I was thinking. You said about 25 past, right? The question, which was, I forgot to put on here, but it is to both of you, from Hannah Profook. Who is your favourite member of the F3 paddock? Christian, do you want to go first, considering you were alluding to people in the F3 paddock in the 50s?
Well, yeah, I like Seb.
I think the question is more F3 staff in the paddock rather than...
F3 staff? Oh.
I'll repeat again. The question's from Hannah Profook.
Oh, yeah, no, her.
Is that how you pronounce it? Is that how you pronounce it?
Hannah Prydutch.
That's Welsh, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah, she's Welsh, I think.
Sorry, Hannah, I've been pronouncing your right name.
How have you been pronouncing that?
Forever.
I'm good friends with Hannah. We're actually really good friends with Hannah, and that's the girl who I've been saying make sure I'm Australian. She's just thrown that in there, so I'm gonna have to say it's Alexis just to
Oh, wow. Boy.
I'd say Malagita and my mechanic.
Malagita.
Yes,
yeah,
sir. Mate, his mechanic is the best mechanic in the world, mate. He makes custom, like, in the car. Can you show him?
Okay, I can show you what they did in Imola pre-season. So,
I'm going to get through about four questions.
No.
We'll fire them off in a bit.
Mate, it is the best
thing. One of the
thing.
Data engineers got bored, right? And you can change anything that you want when you're a data engineer because you're smart as anything. So... I go to switch on.
Apart from changing your flag.
Yeah, mate, honestly. And apart from, you know, changing my flag, they can do a lot of things. So they were messing around on my steering wheel and they're like, turn on the steering wheel. We've got a new setting for you. I turn it on and it's that.
Hold on.
That's a picture of his face. Photoshop onto like that. And that's what I turned on when I did my belt. Hopefully there's no like...
Well,
or anything that I shouldn't be showing on that steering wheel, but who cares?
No, honestly, this guy is he makes a custom one for every single place we go. Like for Monaco, he was the prince, and your second mechanic, Nagane, who's a girl, was the princess.
Yeah, so they photoshopped their faces, and
he's a legend, mate. He's a legend,
and that's worth at least half a tenth.
I know. And it's got a little FIA sticker on it because the FIA have to come around and like make sure everything inside the cockpit.
Verify it.
Like verified. So they have to do that. They have to do that.
Tyler, for the sake of not making all of our fans angry, oh man, he's not going to love this though, but what's the next?
The next ones are questions for both of them, actually. Questions that.
Take it away, mate.
So here we go. So this is a bit more of a serious one, but we'll keep it with a short answer one. So how about. Pepe, can you pick up a number between 1 and 5 this time, please?
3.
Okay, from Els, at Jordan Els on, I assume that's Twitter. How do you manage your time between practice for practicing for racing and school?
Really tough, actually. Well, you guys knew from the last time I was here that I was already struggling with school. And obviously, as school goes, oh, Jesus, what was that? As school goes on, it gets worse. Like, it gets more and more and worse and worse, and you get more things to do, and you get blah, 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 and it gets harder. So this was my last year in school. And this was probably one of the most important years of my career. So I had two things who had... Oh, geez. Okay, that's stable. Two things which had more or less equal balance, yeah, in my future. You could say, well, actually, no, F3 has like a big, quite higher, but school is important. And I took a gamble at the beginning of the year to do it in 1 year. I had a choice of doing it in 2 years or 1 year. And I was like, I want to finish with my mates. I'm going to do it in 1 year. I'm going to wing it. If it goes well, it goes well. If it doesn't go well, it doesn't go well. I wing it, graduated. So that's good. I'm done. Okay.
So this is of last week, right, as well?
Literally Tuesday, graduate, go to Monaco in the evening. Literally straight from the graduation, change out of the suit, give it to my dad. Dad goes home, we go to Monaco.
And you get a trophy. That's a hell of a way to celebrate a graduation.
Here's the worst thing, because when you win in Monaco, you have to go to the dinner on the Sunday
evening. That's the worst thing, is it?
You need a suit, mate.
Yeah.
The suit was home.
There is no bigger first world problem than that. That is got to be. Oh, I won Monaco and I didn't have my suit with me. That, oh, for God. Yeah, I'm not, you've no, no, there's no sympathy here, Pepe. No sympathy at all.
Okay, but I had to buy
it. Yeah, go and pawn that trophy.
It's not in the budget.
It's not in the budget, mate. It's an extra budget.
I know this is for other people as well, but yeah, in the interest of time, Pepe, that's a good answer already.
Yeah, well, I didn't really answer the
question. No, don't worry, we never do. Tyler, next question. Exactly.
That's the point of the podcast. It's just to get people's opinions and then not actually answer them. So here are the questions that are silly. So we're going to just fire a few at them at you, because to be honest, they're quite short ones. So Christian, between 1 and 7, please.
Oh, lucky number 7, hit me.
Okay, from Katrin on Discord. Who are your three favorite music artists at the moment?
I would say Weeknd, Dom Dolla, and... Oh, there's a lot.
Like Bruno Mars was a heavy hitter for you. Actually, no, some house music.
No. It's house music. His name. Let me look it up on...
Pepe, look how serious this is.
For me,
Drake as well. Drake.
Did you forget his name?
Yeah, to Spotify.
Drake. No, not Drake, but I saw that. That was another one.
Oh, okay.
But I was going to have to scroll for a long time, so I just said Drake.
Oh, fair enough. Pepe, what about you?
Sorry, I've actually opened Spotify because I need to check for this. But Flume is one. Cheers, Hugh, for the advice. Flume's really good. I'm enjoying it. Bad Bunny, probably, and Eladio Carrion, which is reggaeton.
Yeah,
and honorary mentions to Central C. Slowly getting into it.
Yeah, Central C as well for me.
I'd love to hear you sing a Central C song.
We do it way too often in the truck.
Like we
Hannah probably has bad videos of us doing that.
I'll get in touch with Hannah. I'll get in touch with Hannah to get this.
No. We were singing Doja in the truck.
Okay, Pepe, between 1 and 6, please.
One.
Okay, from. I mean, just letters. XZZSEL. Sizzle on Instagram. Have you ever sneezed while racing? Like literally at 200 kilometers an hour and then you just get repetitive sneezing?
More than once, unfortunately. I've actually had, I'm really allergic to like dust. So like when we raced in Monza last year, it was terrible because it was September and it was like starting to get into autumn. And that's the worst season for me. And mate, it was bad. Like I'm going down the street. Just continuously DRS open, even like it was actually quite bad. And in Monaco I actually sneaked, like literally this week I got a cold at the end of the week, and like I don't even know where from, but I'm going through casino in between the left and the right. I get the you know when you want to sneeze and you have to keep it in. I was like, Wait, do T4 and out of T4. When the bump comes up, I sneezed really hard.
If you sneeze when you went over the bump instead of you know, skipping the bump. That would be ace.
A bit TMI when you have a cold and you sneeze in the car because I've...
Don't want to know.
Sometimes it goes into the inside of the visor.
Oh,
and that's really hard to take off as well. Like you
I'm gonna take
the visor open. And
where do you drive? Actually, I've actually never asked you this. Where do you drive with the balaclava on, here or here?
Oh, I drive it like above my muscle.
Okay, yeah, me too. Yeah, because some guys drive the balaclava here, and it's honest. It's so uncomfortable. Yeah, like first of all, the microphone really ends up on your neck. Yeah, and like first of all, it's really uncomfortable because the microphone ends up wet, like wet. And that's bad. And second of all, that can happen. Yeah.
Can I ask a question which wasn't there again? And sorry, everybody, you know, you want your questions. And I always say time for not my questions. Sneezing's one thing. Farting in the car. Oh,
man, not really, actually.
One of you has, because I can see by the face.
Oh, man.
Oh. I mean, when you have a bad day, stomach back day.
Oh, man. I was doing a test in Navarra and I had a paella for lunch and that was straight through. Oh, man.
You had a paella for lunch in a race day?
No, it wasn't a test day.
It was a test day, but you're in the car.
But anyway, so the bad thing is it's so insulated, it just goes directly into your helmet. It's got nowhere else to go.
So I'm gonna say, let's move on to a question that is probably the worst one you want to transition from here, and that is from Cameron Halls on Discord. What's your favorite type of cheese?
I love cheese so much.
Parmesan. What I'm saying, Gouda, Parmesan, mate. All the way.
Parmesan.
Mozzarella. All the way, man.
Like, just to say, no, nothing against Théo Pourchaire here, but as a Frenchman, he did actually tell us on the podcast last November that he didn't like cheese.
Yeah, well, he's just weird.
There's no other way to call it. Blue cheese, I will accept. Strong.
Mm-hmm. Well, what about your favorite cheat meals?
Ooh.
Too many, mate.
This is a question from Racing for a Girl via Instagram. I need to shout out.
Too many. Right. Okay. My favorite cheat meal is, there's a place in where I live in London called Kokoro, and it's basically
Kokoro Media.
Sorry? I was thinking the same, yeah.
Yeah. It's spelt the exact same way. And they do this sweet chili chicken with like a ton of rice, a ton of chicken, and it's crispy chicken. And oh my God.
Is that really cheap meal though? Chicken
and Nando's as well.
Is that really cheap meal though? Chicken?
Oh, mate, so many carbs.
the rice is the carbs, but it's good.
Yeah, but like, I have
for you though, it's bad. Yeah, rice.
I have a Biscoff milkshake with it, brother. Like, it's bad.
Oh, okay. You didn't mention that in the end. No?
Yeah, I mean, you kind of kept that out about how it wasn't that bad, so I had to kind of add that on to what it was. And also, yeah, with diabetes, it's like a little bit of a strain, but it's so worth it.
Just because I can get another question. Is Samuel Graham via Discord said, "Hey Christian, I'm curious what it's like to racing as a diabetic."
Yeah, I mean, it's hard. It definitely makes it more challenging. I have to unconsciously work harder than everyone else. Why are you laughing? What have I done? I
left out. Oh, mate. No, you didn't say nothing. I just remembered when you had the alarm in the sim.
Oh, man.
They walk in, this man's full focus because the alarm went off for the diabetes. And I'm like, okay, maybe he's gone low. He's going low. He's going high, whatever. Because I'm actually already quite...
Pepe knows a lot.
I actually know a lot because I've been with him for so long, and I know him since I was one of the first to know. Actually, you told me one of the first about the diabetes because he was so worried. And it's funny because it goes the alarm off, and I'm going in because obviously you need to face ID to see what the actual alarm is. And mate, I go, and he's so focused. I touch his arm, and he goes.
I'm driving in the sim, and I'm like fully
jumps, fully jump scares.
He comes in, and I've got the headphones on. I can't hear shit. And then he just taps me on the shoulder, and he didn't do it hard or anything. I was just like, oh shit.
And that's where you farted in the car for the first time.
Yes. And the bad thing is, not the bad thing, but like on the Dexcom alarm, it like every single notification says critical notification.
Yeah.
Like it looks really bad, but the funny thing was, is it was just signal loss. So like I was so annoyed.
Let me just do final two. No, Tyler, you've done such a good job getting these all focused. We're going to not get through any of them. And I know, Pepe, you're desperate for time. So
I'm fine, mate. I'll just cancel what I have left next. No, I'm joking. Go. Continue.
It goes back. So winning under the lights via Instagram, what were your first impressions of each other? Now, Pepe, you say you go way back. So Christian, first impressions of Pepe, let's start with you.
He, one of the nicest and most genuine guys in the entire karting paddock / car paddock, because I met him in the karting paddock. Because I'm going to be really honest and call out a lot of people when I say this. Everyone in karting is a massive, massive, just not very, yeah, this is not nice people. But in karting,
I disagree with that. Sorry, you can continue, but I disagree with that.
Like, he's giving you a compliment here, Pepe. Chill out.
Yeah, no, but I don't mean in a bad way. But like, I'm sorry for interrupting, Christian.
Well, the people that we ran into were all right, but most of the people, like outside of sort of like the OTK sort of group, and like one of the teams, they're a British team, and they're back in the day when a few of their drivers used to race for them. They were just a bunch of just that they're assholes, like with respect, but. In karting, that works because you need to be feared in karting, if I'm honest. But in cars, it does not work for you. But I think my first impression of Pepe, because I was fresh, it was my first ever race in cars, right, like overseas. And I was so fresh and I was a little poor kid who had no idea what he was doing. Like, I was helpless. And anyway, Pepe comes up to me and is like, oh, you okay? I'm Pepe. How are you? And he just like introduced himself. And I think my first impression of Pepe was like, holy shit, this kid's tall. He must be in seniors.
Can we all agree that I was the chubby fat kid back in the days?
He was.
The chubby, nice fat kid was me.
He did have a few pounds on him back in the day. I'll be really honest. Like, he shredded down. But my first impression of Pepe was just like, huh, I have a friend who's similar to me, because I'll be honest, back in karting, I was such a timid kid. Like, I never really got my elbows out very much. And, you know, when I did, it was way over the top. I would just crash people out and everyone would get really angry at me. But in cars, I'm much more respected. I'm much more like, I almost feel like I belong more in karts. And Pepe almost made me feel like I belonged in karting, which was one of the things that I, you know, really enjoyed about having him as a mate. And there was such a long period of time where we didn't see each other because our car journeys were so different. And it's such a small world moment when when I text him and I was saying, oi, guess what? I'm signing the contract for Campus next year. And he was like, get fucked, so am I. and it was kind of like this moment. And then when I came into the factory to do it and, you know, he was there as well, we were just ecstatic. Like, I mean, it was like the most wholesome moment that you could ever have. Like, yeah, you've got Carlos and Lando back in the McLaren days who were like, you know, they were really good friends. You've got Lewis Hamilton and Rosberg when they were friends. Mm-hmm. But like, game respects game, right? I know that Pepe is more experienced than me in F3. So if Pepe outperforms me, I'm cool with that. But I'm always going to try and get close to him. I'm always going to try and beat him when I put the helmet on. And to be honest, if we ever got into a shunt, we had a very, very serious conversation with ourselves at the start of the year, that if anything was to happen, we have 15 minutes of barking at each other and then we leave it alone and let the FIA deal with it. Because no incident, no shunt, no wins, no points, no podiums is worth more than the just almost 8 years of friendship that we have.
Can I throw this to Pepe for his first impressions? But I have to say now, Pepe, we've had probably in 62-63 episodes, however, on now, had the most wholesome answer.
That was so wholesome, mate. I'm always crying.
Man, it's all true, and he knows that.
Pepe,
watch him call me the biggest dickhead ever.
This Aussie prick turned up, and I thought I have to be nice to him.
Look, I mean, the thing is, we both met each other at a really, I mean, just a starting point. Because obviously for him, like, he had some backing of experience from Australia and all that. But I think it all negates when you start in European karting because everything is so different.
You hit the reset button.
Pretty much, yeah. And, mate, I was fresh. I had a year and a half worth of karting experience and I was in the European scene. Like, I was nowhere and I was no one and I was slowly getting up there, but it was Lekonka, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. Yep, Lekonka. And I remember, because obviously for me, actually that was my first final event in European karting, if I may add. But that was, I remember being, because I think we actually met in between the karting tents. I remember the spot. It was from the karting tents because the teams line up in front of the karting track. It's really fun. Like, if you've never been to the karting weekend in Europe, I recommend it. It's incredibly fun to all the viewers, to both of you. Karting is the most fun and incredible racing you will get ever. And the most fun to watch. It's like epic.
3 minutes of just pure
chaos. Yeah.
Chaos, yeah.
Getting back to it. So I remember we met there, and Christian was the type of kid that you would meet on the first day of school. Call it that way. It was like going to the first day of school. You know, when you go to the first day of school and kids are disoriented and they're like getting to know their environment, they're looking around. But sometimes you're shy and you're struggling to get out of the shell and say hi and meet people. And I'd actually had a really bad experience in my lifetime with being that kid and having a really bad experience with people bullying me and stuff like that. We actually both did. And because of that, I grew into a person that wanted to be liked by most people. And I still am that person. I aim to be friends with pretty much everyone. And the thing was that I saw him being me a couple of years back. And that was like the first moment that I was like, yeah, I'm going to give him a heads up. Like, he needs someone to just say hi to him and give him some conversation. And to be fair, I'm saying this as if I thought that in the second. I was a 12-year-old kid and I just went balls and say, hi, how are you? What's your name? But I think I viewed him as someone who was me in the past. You could call it that way. And it was really, really, mate, he's a great guy. I mean, since the first moment, you know, that it was like a click. It was because, like, back then we actually didn't even have, you didn't have a phone, I didn't have a phone. So we only saw each other at racetracks and we actually lost contact for a long while. But I remembered Christian from the race weekends we experienced, and, you know, we pretty much all the time we're sitting at the hospitality at the same table. And he's a great guy. And obviously we've known each other for so long, and I really, really cherish the memories I have with him, and I cherish the memories we create all the time. And I think he knows about me more than probably anyone.
Another segue to end the podcast, because I think you two could pat each other on the back for another 6 hours.
Wow, we definitely could, mate.
Yeah.
And we could also rant at each other for about 6 hours more.
Well, Christian says
the fun part, which is
Christian says you know everything. Christian says you know everything about each other. And the funny via Discord wants to know, what's your toothbrush color? But
great question.
It's a great question. So what color is your toothbrush? But let's twist it up. Do you know the other person's toothbrush color?
I think you'll guess mine because it makes no sense. But I used to have one, which you maybe guess.
Okay. Christian, can you guess Pepe's first?
It's definitely either blue or white, 100%. Yeah, blue.
Pepe? And I'd say yours is either red or green.
I got a new one recently, so that doesn't
count. Actually did. Oh. No.
What is it?
White.
What color was it?
I should say white. You said white. I should say white.
It was one of the Colgate ones where it was white, but it had the red grip. So it was red. It was the color red.
So the old one, we're everything's fine. The Pepe Christian romance.
For Christian, it's actually so difficult to call out his favorite color. Like, I think, what was your favorite color again? Because you were telling me this recently.
I mean,
because it changes really often. This is not true.
Only because my design for helmets changes. Because it's a
like floats about.
So last year in 2022, it was chrome blue. So I put my car in chrome blue. This year, it's just like light baby blue but also orange, and then off-white. And then I think at the start of this year it was potentially orange because of Campos, and I wanted to see what I could do, but it was already too late. So yeah,
the big learning I've got is you don't care about your favorite color when you pick your toothbrush. That's
No. You got to care. No.
Well, where's the orange toothbrush?
You know, toothbrushes, there's a specific, you know, criteria that you have to meet. If you've just got like, especially if you've got a black toothbrush, nah, that's a red flag for me.
I agree with that.
Can't do that to yourself.
And yellow.
Yeah, yellow is
and disgusting. Yellow. Why would you get a yellow toothbrush? No. And yellow is actually one of my favorite colors, but like yellow?
Is that a toothbrush? No.
Well, I don't know if we can descend to further depths than this with anger at toothbrushes. I'm gonna call it now because I have to edit this nonsense. So that is all the time we have.
Keep it all in. Keep it all in.
Thank you everybody for watching and listening. If you'd like to have your question asked on a future episode, use the hashtag AskFS on Twitter. Drop any questions below. If you're watching on YouTube, we can respond to our Instagram stories or posts. Let us know what questions you have on your mind on our Discord channel as well. Look for the podcast questions channel. And if you're watching on YouTube, dropping a like on the video, leaving a comment, and subscribing to the channel all really helps us out. And subscribe to the inevitable Pepe Marti Christian Mansell podcast as well. We're going to support those guys. And if you are listening, leaving a review on the podcast platform you're listening on is greatly appreciated. Finally, check out feederseries.net for more Feeder Series insight and follow Feeder_Series, FS Americas, and Feeder Series Now on Twitter. You can find the links to all of those, plus the Twitter accounts for myself and everyone else on the podcast in the YouTube description or podcast show notes. Until next time, and I'm sure we're going to have these guys on at some point in the future as well. What a comedy duo.
We have been
the Feeder Series today, podcast.
Today we were on the wholesome side.
Like, yeah.
If you get us in a funny day, we can be on for hours.
Oh, man.
Oh, God. Like, you need to book us at 7 a.m. because you have a full day. You need to book us at 7 a.m. because you better get ready.
Pepe just said, on a funny day, we can go for hours like we haven't already.
Yeah, you ain't seen nothing yet. We can check the bark off a tree, fella.
This is a preview. Until next time, we've been the Feeder Series podcast. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.